So good morning, everyone. It's time for us to get started. And so I'm going to turn off these chimes. Oh, let's see. I've got a different phone here. And always excited to have a new week. Looking over, we're almost to end our first quarter of Health Style. And so I'm already thinking into the next quarter. And I thought we might kind of run it by quarters. And being a teacher background, I'm thinking we need some lesson plans for our quarter. And then we will sort of have it run like a regular class and see what we want to cover. And so if you have suggestions of what you definitely would like to have covered, I will be sending the outline that I have done already to each of the people who are the hosts, and so that then you can see what I've already got written down, and kind of just in an outline form. And then we'll see what you want to cover on your days, and what then I'll have what I'm covering on my days. And you'll probably still be want to cover the slant to your call that you have been before. Like with communication, setting goals, and with accountability and that type of thing that you specially cover. But then maybe you'll want to take over some of the other topics, and we will decide where those are going to fit in and what order they're going to go in. So that's just a little for our announcement there. Today, get my little red marker out here, and we're going to also keep these slides in kind of the same order, but a certain place for certain kinds of slides, so that either I'll be able to find them better or you will. And so when somebody wants to talk about them, if I happen to not be on. And so we do want to continue talking about inflammation, because it's related to every health problem that pretty much people have, or almost all of them. This is very involved. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. And so I'm just going to go ahead with that, since it's mostly what I'm talking about. And looking up a couple of things. There are the three top killers in the United States: heart disease, stroke, and cancer. This is all the underlying cause for those, as we have talked about, with also listed diabetes, Alzheimer's, many forms of arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus, inflammatory bowel disease, which is colitis and Crohn's disease, age-related macular degeneration. And, of course, we have our magnetic products that also helps that with your people who start losing their sight, especially with diabetes. I've been reading a bit about sepsis, which is infection in the bloodstream, and the relationship to vitamin C. If you have the Blaylock report, I recommend that you read that, or you find it online. it just really showed what it is related to inflammation, but it also showed a lot about how they will infuse. This is just for your information, so that if you have somebody in the hospital, they need to have either a lot of vitamin C by mouth, or they can give them a vitamin C give it to them through their blood, infusion. And that has saved a lot of lives. And sometimes the people had actually had to bring the vitamin C in and give it to their family patient without the doctor knowing, because they refused, but that saved their lives. And he told some very horrible stories of being in the hospital and what was happening with people, and they wouldn't give them the vitamin C infusion. Acne and allergies, all related to inflammation. You know, in teenagers, all the way that they eat, they wonder why they have acne. I'm sure it has something to do with the hormones as well, quite a bit, but my change in diet would possibly, and going to a real pH diet, I think would really make, I'm sure it makes really a lot of difference. Well, one of those causes, things that we're always concerned about is aging. Excuse me, especially some of us are, we're all aging, I guess, but, we think of aging as a wasting away of muscle and wrinkly skin and a risk of acute and chronic disease. Now, that's what we're all trying to help to avoid or diminish, right? There's an Italian researcher, and he calls it inflammaging. And so, anyway... So what I'm thinking is that we are going to go and look at a couple of things that we want to also consider. We are a NECAN group making a difference, and this is a kind of a mission and something that we can do to help other people. And so this our program is brought to you by NECAN, and we have a way to help diminish the toxins in our air and our water, and we have a way to a plan to balance pH. And we're going to talk a bit today about greenzymes. We have a high protein smoothie, which is very superior to other products on the market. And then we have a way to diminish our stress with our sleep system. And we also have an opportunity for people to pay for all their products by sharing with others and have an extra stream of income so they can pay for all their products. So I guess I'm saying all these things because I'm really thinking into the next quarter and how we want to have more students and be sharing with them and run it kind of like a class. We have been running it like a class. Of course, we have our pH chart. Do we have any? I'd like to know if we have anyone new on the call this morning. So if this is your first time on the call, if you could speak up and let me know that you're here, then I will go over some of these things in more detail for you. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and get down to the subject matter that I have in mind for today. If you have muted, *6 to unmute yourself. I know we have people who get on the call who are not on the webinar, and so if they're on the webinar, I can see who's here, but there's usually at least twice as many on the phone. So if you're new and have questions at any time, please speak up, and if you're going to tell me here so that I can explain a little bit about some of these things, that would be a good idea. Okay. So, as we were talking about our inflammation, I should go back to that slide a little bit. I've got some more things, a little bit more to say about that. And looking at the book that I've been looking about, they tell you, I'm sure you all know that you can have a protein reactive test, the CPR test, and when you get your blood tested, they will frequently give you a CRP reading. And if you have less than a milligram per liter of your blood, then you're at low risk. If you have a moderate risk, then you'll be between 1 and 3. But if you're over 3 milligrams per liter of the CRP, then you're at high risk. And so it's a good idea at the beginning of a quarter or at the beginning of a class to set up a time to go in and get the CRP testing so that you can see that you're moving in the right direction. Above the 3 milligrams per liter, then you're in that high-risk group, and that's a high-risk group particularly for heart disease. And studies have found that the risk for heart attack in people in the upper third of the CRP levels is twice that of those who are in the lower level. And most of infections are associated with CRP levels above 1 milligram. As a CRP is explained, it's almost like looking at an infection. And of course, that's kind of what inflammation, that's our good inflammation, is when our body is fighting that infection. People with autoimmune diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or cancer often have very elevated CRP levels. And CRP levels are higher in people who are obese. And so that's a warning sign.
Ruth, does CRP, is that related also with fibromyalgia?
Well, I think it definitely would be, but because that's an inflammatory disease, right?
Okay, yeah.
I think I have a list of some of them. If you have high blood pressure and a high CRP level, you're much, of course, you're at a much greater risk of heart disease. Let me see if I can. I guess kind of that list that I gave to begin with tells that would be an autoimmune. Other autoimmune diseases, including lupus and multiple sclerosis, are inflammatory, and so the CRP is going to tell you that you're inflamed. That's a high inflammation indicator, among other things. The danger sign. Okay. So, let's go down. Does anyone have any other questions or want to say anything about?
Ruth, how would CRP show on a blood test? Does it show just CRP on the lab report, or is there another name for it?
I believe so. I used to have some lab reports that had it on it.
Yeah.
And it was, that, I believe that's what it gives you.
Okay, thank you.
That anymore. You're welcome. And you may have to ask for it. I think I've been having some lately, and they haven't done that test. And I would think that would be a test we would always want to have included in the blood work. But usually at the lab clinic, I know it's at the Tahoma Clinic, if you ask for something, they'll just put it on a list, generally, unless they have some reason why you wouldn't want to have it. They've taken your blood out, they just as well do everything they can do. Of course, I suppose they add to the cost of it. So, I guess I think I'll go back and go through these in order here so that you can see what order they're. I'm going to keep them in this order unless you ask me to put them in a different order when it's your day to speak. Okay, so the killer diseases and what NECAN can do without them, our chart for staying healthy, the 10 points for covering all the bases, the pH test, what not to eat, among some, what to eat daily. Oh, I know, when we're talking about the CRP, also we have to remember that we have one of the very best indicators that is called listening to our body, because it will tell us. I mean, I'm realizing just that any kind of like a ache in the ankle or whatever is my body saying, what did you eat? I don't like it. And I think I'm pretty sensitive to it. Okay, so maybe I just learned how to listen. I'm not sure if some people probably more sensitive and less is natural. Okay.
I think you are very sensitive to it, Ruth. I think you have a very, I don't know, I've noticed that all through the years.
I don't think I have. I think I have a fairly high pain tolerance because I do have ability to also blank it out. and ignore it. But yeah, and just trying to figure out what helps me be less healthy or more healthy. Now I pay more attention, and I think you do get attuned.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, a really important page where we're looking at what we're supposed to eat in a day. And this plate is very helpful, especially here. If you start at breakfast and you notice that there are no grains, and you'll, how many times have we lately we're having people who are getting off the gluten and they feel better. And I feel so much better not having grains for breakfast. And now I made some muffins that are gluten-free, and I'll start to reach into those and say, wait a minute, those do have grains in them. They're just not they're gluten-free, but I'm still not eating them for breakfast. And I just feel so much better following that plan. And then having your fruits and vegetables and getting in the habit of eating all those fruits and vegetables, you just feel better, and you're best because you're getting healthier. All these grains that people have been eating and putting in boxes and every chip and all these different things that we've been eating and eating and eating and feeding our children and developing those habits are not what the healthiest people in the world have eaten over the eons. And how about any of you? If you have just most recently noticed a change with the way you're eating and when you're eating, what differences have you noticed? You have noticed some differences, right?
Yes. Yes. If we haven't, we're dead.
Well, that would be noticeable.
Yeah. No, I think that for me, I have noticed that I'm more consistent at not having pain. Now, I'm not telling you that I'm out of the woods, but I had a daughter who told me that, she says, Mother, for every year that you have suffered with a particular problem, health-wise, it will take you, if you do everything that's right, it would take you 3 months for every year to recuperate from that problem. And I've had fibromyalgia since I was 19, so I've got a lot of months to go through in doing things correctly before I think I'm going to have that great big huge thing lifted off of me. So I'm not discouraged because I'm not just exactly right on. So anyway.
That's a good point, Karen. Very good point.
Can't expect instant success.
True. This is true.
I think one of the things that's helped me a lot in this program is the basic, when we talked about not eating before 3 to 4 hours before you go into bed. So what I've been trying to do when I first started the program is I usually have the breakfast about not too long after we get off the call here. And then I would set my alarm on my phone for 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And that has really helped me. And I know that's really helped me, with getting rest, but also in regards to insulin. And we talked about leptin one time and how I just mm-hmm. feel that much has really increased my value in regards to what I've learned on this particular program. Just in that one thing about how to eat at the right times of the day for me. It's worked for me.
Thank you, Monty. That's one that really has helped me the most probably as well. But I never thought about setting an alarm. What a good idea. Because I'm finding, since I've been adding the avocado to my breakfast, that I don't get hungry until I get stretched out too far, and then all of a sudden my blood sugar starts to fall. And so maybe a little alarm would be of help to me. That's a very good idea.
Well, it did me because I found myself, thinking, well, I got to eat about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I'd get busy doing something or whatever on the computer, and then all of a sudden it was 2:30, and then by the time I'd have lunch, then if I tried to eat that 3 to 4 hours before going to bed, which I don't go to bed till fairly late anyhow, but still I just tried to be around that figure, that I found that I was either putting meals too close together, or I was getting into that 8 o'clock hour, 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock hour before I was having dinner. So that just helped me. And then, you know, we've always heard that anything you do for 30 days, it pretty much, well, becomes a habit, and so your mind clock or body clock or whatever kind of has helped me out, so I don't have to use my alarm so much, but that just got me on the right track.
That sounds exactly like me. I mean, that's exactly where I am.
Ruth, you know, when you talk about putting avocado into your drink,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're the one who turned me on to almonds, and ever since I've gotten over this idea that I can only have 9 almonds for a meal, and I finally realized, you know what, just take, you know, don't sit there and count them, which I did. I was very exacting about it. But now, it's incredible how I am not hungry, and I go for much longer periods of time, and I don't... If I didn't eat just within a very short time of when I needed to, I'd get kind of weak and shaky, and I don't do that now. So I appreciated your information on almonds.
Well, as you're saying that, you know, I'm realizing that I'm not eating as many almonds, and so I was probably eating almonds because my body was craving fat.
Ah.
And
yeah.
So now I actually have my smoothie at lunch most of the time, so I usually put some more avocado in there, but I usually have some eggs for breakfast, and so I eat the avocados chopped up with my eggs, so I like them like that. But
wow, I'm surprised. That sounds interesting.
This is sort of like an omelet, except it's like a fresh, I put tomatoes and avocados with my eggs. I usually kind of scramble my eggs soft, not overcook them. But anyway, I put those things on them, and they're really good. And then I have my smoothie at lunch. And anyway... It makes me think that my body, you know, cut back on fat so much and everything, probably. I don't know that I did it for any particular reason or meant to do that. It just seemed like that they were all bad. And so now that we definitely have in mind which are our good fats and that our body definitely needs them, particularly my dried up body. And that's been really has helped me as well as the timing. If I get my timing on track, the alarm idea was very good. I just love it when people share.
Well, I think one of the good things about fat is that it's it makes you feel full, okay, and you can get further between snacks or dinner or whatever you want because that's one of the things our body needs.
That's right. That's really very true, and I do have. I try to remember to have a snack, but I miss them a lot. Because I just follow that pattern exactly like Monty said. It's the same one, so I need my alarm because I get busy and skip it. Okay, and so then sometime recently I just wrote this out, breakfast, no grains, some... quick, easy snacks, and it's a good idea to have easy snacks on hand. We keep tangerines and oranges and bananas around, and boy, you have my favorite is fruits and nuts, whatever kind. Now, Dennis bought some baked almonds, and I'm going to bake up my almonds. Matter of fact, I think in Kathy Abascal's book, she talks about... what's with my throat here? And I just remembered that we had birthday Sunday yesterday, and I had ice cream. So here I am with this voice. Anyway, so baked seeds or nuts, And like if you soak your almonds for a little bit in some water and then bake them, the pH actually goes up. So then you have that with some fruit. And I love chewing them. I think fruit and nuts together, and almonds particularly, taste just like the most delicious dessert I can imagine. I mean, it's like my favorite food. So it's very, very easy, very, very quick. You can put it in a baggie, take it with you. I love fruit and nuts. Dried cranberries, and I can get organic ones. And so those are good with almonds, and oranges are good, and bananas, and probably a whole lot of other things that I haven't been trying lately. So then have a quick, I like having a quick, easy lunch, which I do. That's where I do my smoothie. And then easy and quick dinners. And I'd like to see us have some recipes. We have to have some quick ones on hand so that this is easy to do. My favorite is to have when I make soup, I make a very big pot. Then I put it, store it in a freezer in containers so that when I need something in a hurry, I can just get that out, run some hot water over, get it in a pan in short time while I'm doing something else. There's some soup ready. Same thing could be done with casseroles. Just so then you can have some time when you cook something special and everything. But for most of our busy time, we can find some easy things to do. And Nancy Gilmer sent her recipe in for this smoothie. And I think that it'd be good if we all have favorite things, if we send them in and we can post them, and we'll put them together in something that we can send out to everybody or put it on a website. But there are so many recipes online. You can just go, anytime you have something and you want to use it, just go put it in. My favorite, I think, is All Recipes, that I just put Google and rice dish or sweet potatoes or whatever, and you come up with all kinds of things. And sometimes I'll put gluten-free, but usually I don't, because I get more recipes if I don't, because I know I can just switch out the flour if I'm using any flour anyway. Okay, my advertisement for the day here is the Green Zymes value. And actually, these are just for barley grass that I pulled off. But barley green Zymes, Nican ones, are going to have probably more value than the others because they are cold pressed. And they are grown in a pristine environment, so that they are going to have the highest possible value that probably would grade higher than any of the ones that anyone else has. That's what Nican does. But I've been over to one of the places where I thought that was pristine and completely out of anywhere it could have any environmental problem. And now they have something that is even more pristine than that. I think nothing has ever been grown there or something. It's just, I have to go over there and find out where it is one of these years. Okay, so barley grass has 30 times more B1 and 11 times more calcium than in cow's milk. And here you have the carotene, an immune factor, 6.5 times as much, and nearly 5 times the iron of spinach. And 7 times the vitamin C in oranges. And I was particularly looking, when I found this, I was looking, so, okay, which of our supplements has the most vitamin C? And I'm not sure how they're counting that in the progesterol or the Ciaga, because I'm sure there's more in it than what's on the label, just because of what we know is in it. However, in a juice, when you have vitamin C, it's very volatile. And so if you pour it, a lot of it is just go in the air. Unless somebody's discovered something. This is what I learned about that a long time ago. And so you want to eat your oranges, but the same thing would be true. If you've got your Greenzymes, your vitamin C is going to stay in there until you can get it down anyway, because you're starting out with a powder or you're starting out with the capsules, whichever, when you eat them. And so you're going to get a lot of that vitamin C. The other thing is, you don't want to take ascorbic acid. You want to have a full range vitamin C that has all the bioflavonoids in it to have it be effective. And this vitamin C is so protective to your body. I want to look at a couple more things down here. We talked about the B1 already. 80 micrograms of vitamin B12 per 100 grams of dried barley plant juice. And so again, with a cold process, the B vitamins are going to be much higher in a cold process than because the heat would kill those off somewhat. And of course, the enzymes. Organic sodium, which is something I really haven't read anything about before. Sodium always sounds like something I didn't want to have, but what they're talking about is it's deposited, this dissolves the calcium deposited on the joints and also replenishes the organic sodium in the lining of the stomach. Well, probably everything needs replaced in the lining of my stomach because I always eat things too hot. This aids digestion by improving the production of hydrochloric acid, and that is a really big problem with a lot of people as we get older. The hydrochloric acid that's supposed to be dissolving everything that we eat becomes less and less in our stomach. And so some of the times I'm supposed to take hydrochloric acid all the time, which I don't. Usually I'll take it for dinner. In the morning it seems like it's pretty good. But that's a natural thing that's supposed to be in your stomach, so having an increase is a good thing. People with arthritis have used celery juice for years because of the organic sodium it contains. But compare this, the 28 milligrams per 100 grams, compare this to the amount of organic sodium in barley grass. Wow, look at that. 775 compared to 28. So at the harvest time, barley grass has about 45% protein, 5 tons of minerals, and all 8 of the amino acids are found in essential amino acids are found in barley grass. And of course, those are the building blocks of our protein that we need. So the enzymes are necessary regulators of the body, and without them, our cells could not function, and we would perish. We couldn't digest anything. And barley grass is believed to have up to 1,000 of the enzymes that we have. Many, many enzymes that our body needs, and has one of the highest natural levels of superoxide dismutase, which is a powerful antioxidant that protects the cells against toxic-free radicals. Toxic-free radicals are the little Pac-Men that go around and they damage your cells. They're all trying to get another electron. They've lost one of their electrons and they need some more, and so it makes them go around and attack your cells, and that's the culprit in aging. And so if you want to have more anti-aging, have more greenzymes. Also contains chlorophyll. We've talked about that quite a bit, a natural detoxifier that rids the intestines of stored toxins. We need to have our greenzymes every day, at least once a day. It's as easy as mixing 1 to 2 teaspoons a day. I take 2 teaspoons and about 1/4 of a cup of water. I like the powder. I always just feel like you can get more than you can in capsules. Adenosine takes about 4 capsules a couple of times a day. And some people take it in juice. I used to have a chaser after it, but now I don't. I kind of enjoy the flavor. It feels nice and healthy. Sometimes it just takes a bit to get used to it. So, anyway, there's my advertisement for Greenzymes. I think it's the healthiest food that we can find. Anybody have a Greenzymes testimony? And real quick, because we're out of time. Well, Greenzymes helps me to be able to have to get rid of my inflammation, but many of you heard me talk about that. It works so fast that I can't believe it can do that. So I think we're on the right track. We've made the right decision, and we're getting healthier and younger every day. So thank you for your decision.
Ruth, I think I get mental clarity also from the Jade Greenzymes. This is Mary Lou.
Really?
Yeah, when I'm getting kind of tired, we have to do a presentation or something, I will take that Jade Greenzymes, and gee, within a few minutes, I'm really alert again. Yeah, I think it really helps.
Does your blood sugar bounce around a bit?
Pardon me?
Is your blood sugar prone to drop?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
it
with
does
all that protein, that and it's readily available, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And the B12.
Yep. I hadn't put that connection together.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, okay.
Great information today. Now I want to know how to bake almonds.
Well, I bake pumpkin seeds by just, take a pan, and I take and oil the bottom of the pan with coconut oil. And then I put my pumpkin seeds on there and just stir them around and then flatten them out until they're kind of covered. And I put a little salt on them, but I'm going to quit doing that. And I'm not going to put salt on my almonds for sure. And so then I just put them in. I've done 350 for 10 minutes, but I prefer a little bit lower temperature, like about 325. I tried 300, pretty slow. 325, if you then stir them after 10 minutes, and then usually when the next 10 minutes they're all ready to come out, and the pumpkin seeds turn brown, but I haven't done the almonds yet. I'm going to do
okay.
Today.
And so you said we soak them first?
In Kathy's book, it said, I think it was Kathy's book or someplace I read, that if the almonds are soaked and if they're baked a little bit, then they have a higher pH.
Okay.
Mary Lou, I put them in the dryer also.
I don't have a dryer.
Okay, then the oven's great. Everybody has the oven.
Yeah.
Well, how hot do you do that in the oven? Have you done them in the oven, Kathleen?
No, I haven't, but maybe it's quicker. Because I soak them overnight in water. I soak them 8 hours or so. And then when I've dried them, they just, they have a different texture, and it's delightful. It's still crisp, but it's easier to bite.
And I think easier to digest, probably.
Oh, yes. And then you said it's so much better that way.
Okay, those were almonds that you soak overnight?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Kathleen.
I just cover them with our waterfall water.
Yep.
So thank you, Kathleen. Great.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it today.
Well, I guess we'll have to try baking tomorrow if we're going to do them overnight, huh?
Uh-huh.
I was going to do that, too. I was going to let them in there, stay in there, but I think that's a good idea. Okay, you guys, have a great day. Thanks for joining the call.
And, thanks, Ruth.
Let's get prepared for our next second quarter by calling and inviting people to and to let them know about the call. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Ruth.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.